Grade 1 Conference, Lecture 13. The theme of this one lecture is going to be based on some of Rudolf Steiner's more esoteric teachings. And if that doesn't interest you, then you're welcome to skip it. I would just say, though, that it also may help answer some questions about particular children that you may not have yet, but may find yourself living with at some point in grade one, or very likely some point in your trajectory through all of the grades. So it's up to you if you want to hear it or not. And what I'm going to speak about are two kinds of children that Rudolf Steiner described. And he didn't always make clear and hard distinctions between them. But I would say in both cases that these are children who go beyond temperamental classification. They're like a kind of fifth or sixth temperament, though they will bear qualities of temperament, but they will not fit into necessarily any of those four neat categories that I've been presenting so schematically as though it's all so easy. Of course, it's not all so easy, but with these children, it can become especially difficult. So here are the two types of children. One Steiner spoke of as young souls. And he said that in the course of Earth evolution, that the great majority of people who live on the Earth right now, who are inhabiting physical bodies on the Earth, are people who have incarnated several times before or repeatedly, which doesn't mean millions of times or thousands of times, but, you know, is somewhere within the hundreds, perhaps. But that's quite a bit, considering we may only incarnate once every 700 to 1,000 years. So they're individuals who have experienced a good deal of the cultural evolution of the Earth and humanity and have seen a lot and experienced a lot and maybe helped to bring some of it into creation. These Steiner speaks of as old souls. And it's very likely that everybody listening to this lecture, and including the lecturer himself, are probably fairly old souls. I think teachers are often drawn from the ranks of those who are familiar with the Earth and comfortable with it, even if they don't remember anything of any previous lifetimes. It's there. And indeed, Steiner says one of the things that is cultivated over time, and especially in post-Christian incarnations, is conscience. And these are individuals with a conscience who are going to be able to act out of it and measure their activities by the force of conscience. He also said, however, that over the course of evolution, the spiritual world held back certain souls from incarnating because they were not strong enough, they were not ready enough for the increasing densification of the body of the Earth, of the physical world. And talking about the fourfold human beings, I mentioned this term, densified and dense, several times. Now, even though it runs contrary to a lot of our intuitions about the Earth and the way we think about modern life, the Earth is actually starting to grow less densified. It actually is rarefying. It's actually beginning to be etherized very, very slowly. But some of the phenomena that we see around us in terms of great changes have as much to do with that as they have to do with man-made causes. Or perhaps they are, in a certain respect, what lives behind those man-made causes. So nonetheless, there are souls who have never been on the Earth before, have been watching it from the planetary spheres have seen all of the strivings and challenges and struggles of humanity as though it's in a drama on the stage or maybe even a movie. They've been watching it and waiting for their turn to participate in it when they would be strong enough and when earthly conditions would be permeable enough to allow them to come. And Steiner speaks of these as the young souls and says that they will bring with them tremendous qualities of enthusiasm, vitality, and a great joy to finally be participating in earthly life in a physical body. But they will not have had the kind of tempering, the kind of maturation that can only come by revisiting the earth again and again and participating in the pageant of physical life. So they will be inwardly young, young in terms of their vitality and enthusiasm, but inwardly young in terms of their lack of maturity. And one thing that will not have matured because they have not had an experience of it yet is conscience. They will be incredible individuals, but in certain respects devoid of conscience. You can't appeal to their conscience necessarily. It's something that will take some time to begin to develop to the point in which many other children already are approaching having a real conscience as an inner force. So these are the young souls, and they are here, according to Steiner, to bring a kind of fructification, to bring tidings of the spiritual world to those of us on the earth. And he had said that in the latter part of the 20th century, they would start to appear in greater numbers. So I'm not saying, yes, you definitely have one or two or three in your class. I'm not saying these are the cholerics, although probably one would expect a choleric temperament might be connected with such a soul, but not necessarily. Probably all four temperaments could be permeated by such a soul and serve their needs. But I just want to bring that as one kind of child in the class who on certain levels, behaviorally among them, might be considered special needs, might be considered a child who needs special work and, you know, isn't reading and can't understand numbers. Once again, it may have to do with just a lack of ever having encountered anything like that at all in the spiritual world. Probably the numbers come more easily, the reading a lot less. So just take that into yourself, live with it, and maybe one day that will help to answer the riddle of one or another child. Now, there's another phenomenon that Steiner spoke about as well in a different context, different places. And he had said that at the end of the 20th century and the beginning of the 21st, that the Earth's population would increase tremendously. And this would be because many, many souls who should still be making their journey in the spiritual world between one life and the next are leaving the spiritual world prematurely, are coming down to the earth now because they want to be part of the great conflicts, as Steiner said, between good and evil that are living in our time. And they are, in a certain way, given permission to do this, though it means that it cuts short that sojourn in the spiritual world, which really helps them develop their karmic proclivities for the next lifetime. and to build connections with those with whom they must meet again in this earthly life. They're coming much faster than they should, but they are coming with the very best of intentions. They want to help the earth, but they do not really have the karma to be here on the earth. So their presence may be felt as something uncomfortable. Steiner spoke about how important it is that we keep reincarnating with our group, our karmic group. And he said that, for example, he adored Goethe and learned a great deal from him, but only the Goethe in the spiritual world. He said that he and Goethe were never meant to incarnate on the earth at the same time. And if he saw Goethe in the back of the room while he was lecturing, he would get a terrible stomach ache looking at him. So, very interesting. These are children whom I would speak of in a figurative sense as being a little bit like invisible children. They are because they are not there with the dynamic of karmic forces that unite the children in a class, they very well may not be fully visible to others. They may not make a deep impression on them, let's say. They'll be ignored. They won't be counted in the ranks of the others. You may find yourself leaving them behind in a tent when your class goes off on a hike and a class trip or something like that. Here again, it's not to say that a child who perhaps does not have a strong presence or is very shy and could also be forgotten because of that is the invisible child. I'm only saying again that according to Steiner, there would be many such souls coming to the earth and they will be born. They'll be born and they'll be children. And the odds are growing that between the young souls and these sort of invisible children, that there we may actually have one or another in a Waldorf classroom. We could even say that what better place could they come to than the Waldorf classroom? If you think of what we're going to be doing in the way of all of the cultural education and history and all of these stories and narratives of the strivings of humanity over long epochs of time, the myths and so on. What a perfect way for a child to be briefed on all that he or she has missed. And how the pedagogical stories might help such children develop something of forces of conscience from outside of themselves that they don't necessarily have living strongly within. So here you have it, the kind of duality of children who may not fit the categories and the classifications, and yet who have very good, very important reasons for being on the earth right now. And let's hope that we as Waldorf educators can appreciate them and really cultivate all that they have to bring. But as I say, these are ideas that Steiner did not give to teachers. He did not speak about this, particularly in the context of education in general or Waldorf education in particular. But I just bring that to you because here and there, you will very likely encounter enigmas among your children. And it may not be an entirely negative thing. It may be something that is challenging you to see more deeply into the intentions of the spiritual world. So that's a little food for thought. And now we'll go on to some more practical aspects of your work as a first grade teacher.